Well, friends, good morning. Well, that was exciting. Good morning and welcome. We're glad to have you here. And thank you to all of you who came early to help set up the tents and the chairs, and with all of you who brought food and all of the excitement of the day. It's a real community event, and it's wonderful to have you helping with that. I'm going to turn the speakers just to face a little bit away from the center, I think. Angie, could you turn the speaker to face the road? And Danny, could you turn the speaker to face the church?
Could you turn?
And that way, just a little bit more. That's right. I think you folks will still hear, but the microphone won't pick up the speaker. We'll get less feedback that way. So, welcome. We're glad you're here. Thanks for joining us. Following the service, I hope you'll go and get your food. There are a whole bunch of buffet tables that have been put out there. And we also invite you to take your chairs down to the parking lot where the food is. Each of these tents requires 6 people to move it, but we can do that. We can pick up the tents and go down into the parking lot where the food is going to be. So if you're able to pick up a chair, or if you're able to pick up one of the corners of the tents, we'll kind of move down into that end of the property for our picnic and take the shade with us. In the meantime, I'd like to invite you just to pause, to remember why you're here, to enjoy the outside, take a moment to listen to the sounds of the city around us, and to look at the gardens and the green and the grass. Think about the wonder of being in the midst of creation, even in the midst of the city. We're going to invite their introit, and we'll use that as our opportunity to focus and prepare ourselves for worship. Is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and those who live in it. For God has founded it on the seas and established it on the rivers. So friends, come, let us worship. And our opening hymn, "This is God's wondrous world." Let's sing together.
Are we going to light the candles?
No, not yet.
I'll put this here, and then we'll get more of the singing and less of the piano.
Sure. What is that?
That's our recording.
Okay.
It goes on YouTube.
Sure. Hello. Okay. Here we go.
Oh,
pray together. God, the seed time and harvest of newness and growth, we gather to celebrate the ways in which you bring vitality to our world, the seeds of the earth which are bursting into plant and flower all around us at this time of year, and the seeds of hope and new life that you plant within our hearts. Forgive us when we take for granted all that brings life which we do not control. Forgive us when we fail to notice or give thanks for the miracle of growth and strength that transforms barren ground. And send us from this place rejoicing in the power of love to transform hearts, to transform lives, to call new energy and commitment into being. And so let us take a moment of silence for confession. St. Paul tells us that God was in Christ, not counting our sin against us, but reconciling us to God. Friends, we are forgiven and we are sent out in that grace. Trust in that good news. Thanks be to God. To come up and examine these plants that are on the table here, and tell me what you remember about them. Have you seen these before? You think you've seen them before? Are you sure? Where did they come from? They came from a seed. Do you remember these plants? When did we plant these plants? A couple of months ago. It was a long time, wasn't it? And then after a couple of weeks when they didn't grow right, we were going to throw them away, weren't we? Yeah, I'm glad we didn't. I think they're ready now to plant in the ground. So we don't have flowers on them yet, although there was one flower that was starting to come, but I had to trim them back a little bit because they were getting too long and leggy. So when we're finished with the children's time, and you go off with Anne, one of the things we're going to invite you to do is add these flowers to the front of the parking lot area over there where they put in the geraniums yesterday. So there's not a whole lot of them to plant because some of them didn't grow properly, but there's enough here that I think we should have some fun with them. And if you come to church over the summer, you'll watch them grow. Now that was kind of the children's time from several weeks ago. I wanted to do something different today, and I'm hoping that with the wind here we don't blow out this candle. So maybe some of you could come and kind of come over, stand over here and be a wall against the wind. Could you do that? Sure. Let's see if we can. There it goes. Oh, this may not work. If I can't get the candle to work, then it's. There we go. Well, I think we're going to have trouble. Here. Okay. There. So we've got a candle going. We may have to light that more than once. I'm going to blow up this balloon. Not very much, just a little bit. Now, we're going to, those of you who've been here for a while have seen this one before, but that's okay because the kids haven't. What happens if I take this balloon and hold it over the candle? It's going to expand, it's going to pop. What do you think? It's a science experiment. You think it's going to expand? Do you think we should try it? I need a very brave volunteer. If you know what, Faith, you always volunteer. I think we should let somebody else. Would you like, are you willing to volunteer? Okay, well, this is, so you're going to hold that tight. Now just wait a minute, because this is an important science experiment. We need to make sure that we've got the right protective gear here. So, well, these are dusty from my workshop. Let me just take the sawdust off them. There we go. You have to put the safety glasses on just to make sure that you don't get hurt when we try this. Well, let's see if we can make them work, because this is important. There we go. Good show. Now, one other thing. Somebody said it might pop. That could be dangerous, right? So we've got some ear protectors here as well. There we go. Who's taking the pictures? There we go. Everybody else should stand back. And let's hold the balloon right over top of the candle and see if it expands or pops. Right over top. Woo! What a good thing you had all that protective equipment. So what could we do to make the candle, to make the balloon survive? Sorry? Not put it on top of it. Well, sure. But what happens if we had to put it on top of the candle? It would pop. Is there anything we could do, do you think, that could prevent it? Yeah? Let's try something. I want to add some water to the balloon. Because water puts out fire, right? Apparently they can't see. So you're going to have to take a step back because the people behind you want to see this too. Apparently some of the other kids in the congregation want to see and they didn't come forward. Okay. Can you see the water in there? Yeah, there's a little bit of water in there. Who wants to be our volunteer this time? How about you? You better put that protective gear on again. It's an important part of the process.
He has glasses, though. Yeah.
Okay, so our scientific experiment is to try to get the water in the balloon over top of the candle flame. Okay? So you hold that tight. I'll see if I can get that candle burning again. And what do you think is going to happen? Is it going to pop again?
Yeah.
How many think it's going to pop again? One. How many think it's not going to pop again? Have you been reading the same books I have?
No. No, it's going to pop.
Okay. Okay, so see if you can hold the water part right over the candle, and we'll see if the water is enough to protect it. Even a little lower. There you go. Isn't that remarkable? But sometimes our job in the world is to be like the water in the balloon. Sometimes our job in the world is to spread out the harm so much that people don't get hurt in the same way. So you managed to put out the candle instead of breaking the balloon. Now take the ear protectors off so we can hear what I'm saying. So that's our job in the world, is to be like the water in the balloon. And to spread the harm so that when people are in danger, they don't get burned. I think we should put that down, please. I understand, but we're not going to play with water balloons in the middle of the church service. Thank you for your help, and I think we should say our Lord's Prayer together. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. So I'm going to give these flowers to you, and to you. And you're going to go with Anne. Where is Anne? There she is. You're going to go and plant some flowers for us. And then I think she's got some other crafts ready for you, too. Do we have a hymn next? Yes, we do. Let's sing our hymn together. It's a Song of Praise. And I've spilled all over things.
Psalm 8, Divine Majesty and Human Dignity. To the leader, according to the Gittith, a Psalm of David. O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes, to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the path of the seas. O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The choir will be singing Yonder Come They by Douglas E. Wagner.
Yonder come day, oh my soul.
8 has been always one of my favorite passages of Scripture. I wanted to tell you a story first about my daughter. When Rebecca was about 6 years old, we decided, it was August, and we decided to take the kids out into the countryside where it was dark outside because the meteor showers were on. There's a bunch of meteor showers that happen at the beginning of August every year. We thought, kids are old enough, it would be fun to go out and show them some shooting stars. So we packed them into the car, and of course they fell asleep as we drove north, and we had to go quite a distance to get away from the light pollution of the city. We probably didn't go as far as we ought to have done. But anyway, we got there, and it was dark, and we woke the kids up and brought them out into the field where we were looking up, and Rebecca came out of the car, and she was awestruck. She was just absolutely full of wonder. She was 6 years old. She looked up at the sky and she said, "Stars, I've read about these." And I thought, oh my God, I'm a bad father. I've never shown my 6-year-old stars before. But of course, if you grow up in the city, you don't see stars. At least you certainly don't see stars the way you can on a dark night. So we thought we were taking the kids out to see shooting stars, and that was interesting for a little while, but mostly what grabbed her, and I guess Elijah too, Elijah would have been 4, but mostly what grabbed her was just seeing the stars and the immense number of them, to look at the Milky Way on a dark night. And I had kind of forgotten how awesome that was until I saw it through my child's eyes. And it shook me again and reminded me what a remarkable thing it is to see the stars. I think, as I think back on it now, probably the first time I remember seeing stars that way, I'd have been even older than she was. I was probably 8. I was at summer camp. And this is part of why we send our kids to summer camp, right? All of you who have helped with the men's baking challenge and raised the money to send kids to camp, You know why we're doing it. And for me, it was that summer that I really saw stars. And I was at a Christian camp, and they gave me the language to kind of appreciate the wonder of it all. We read Psalm 8 together. "When I look at the heavens and the work of your hands, how majestic is your name in all the earth. What are human beings that you are mindful of us?" And that sense that I've had ever since that day, that when you look at the remarkable nature of creation and the wonders that are there, I get a sense of humility. I get a sense of my own temporariness, of my own fragility, of how remarkable it is that in the midst of something so awesome and huge and dangerous as creation, we are here. And we are alive. What are human beings that you are mindful of us? Some people will say that religion started to die when science started to understand how big the universe is. When God wasn't just the other side of a big dome over the earth, but when the world became, in our understanding, when the cosmos became so much bigger, it became harder and harder for our human minds to imagine a God that could actually connect with each one of us. And so religion started to die in the modern world. I've heard that argument, and it's not my experience. I don't know about you, but the bigger the universe, the more complicated things are, the more mysterious things are, the more I wonder, the more I am caught and fed by a sense of mystery and awe in the immensity of it. And for me, that line from the psalmist just rings even more true the more I learn about the cosmos and the human place within it. What are human beings that you are mindful of us? I think we don't talk about awe enough in our religion. We have a very sort of intellectual religion, and I realize as I think about my own preaching, I spend a lot of time talking about ethics and not a whole lot of time talking about awe. And I wonder if I'm missing the boat when I just take that for granted. our Jewish neighborhoods don't, Jewish neighbors in the neighborhood don't do that. Every Friday night is a celebration of creation for our Jewish neighbors. Did you know that? That's what the Friday night Shabbat service is about. You remember the seventh day and you keep it holy, and the seventh day is the day of creation. It's the day when week after week after week you remember that God created everything that is, and that we are a part of that. And so some of the Jewish mystics and the Jewish writers have a much deeper and grander sense of awe than I think we Christians sometimes do. Let me read you just a small piece out of a Jewish prayer book that I found moving. The universe was brought forth by an inexhaustible creative power. It pours out torrents of energy, still awesome and wondrous and mysterious. It is the source of our being. Matter was formed out of chaos. Time passed, time beyond imagining. Matter crossed a boundary. It became life. Time passed. Life gave birth to us. To us. Our universe is still being formed at every moment. We too are not yet grown to full height, but ours is a special gift, a special task to help in our own shaping. For we were made to be free. Free to love or to hate, free to destroy or create. We are like mountain climbers on a perilous ascent. Often we stumble. Sometimes it seems we may dash ourselves on the rocks below, but there is hope. For dimly we have seen a vision and felt a presence and faintly heard a voice not ours. The blazing stars, particles too small to see, the smiles of children, the eyes of lovers, melody filling the soul, a flood of joy surprising the heart, mystery at the core of the plainest things. All these tell us that we are not alone. They open our eyes to the vision that steadies and sustains us. Isn't that a remarkable piece of writing? Do you ever get even a glimpse of that when you look at the stars? I do. What are human beings that you are mindful of us, and yet you have made us little less than God? You have given us dominion, it says, over all of the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over all creation. We have that special place, that special responsibility. That great prophet of our modern time, Spider-Man, says, with great power comes great responsibility. And it's true, isn't it? Even if it comes out of a comic book. Some in the environmentalist movement will tell you that a lot of the problems that human beings have created, or the Western society has created for the environment, comes out of this biblical sense of dominion, that we were given the earth to exploit and to use for our own purposes, that the earth doesn't have a life of its own, that it's a natural resource for us to use. And that's been built into Western culture. They're right in their criticism. We have turned dominion into domination. And over the centuries, we have assumed that creation is here for our pleasure, for our wealth, for our richness, for our use. And the environmental movement, really, in the 60s, didn't start to gain much traction until we started to acknowledge that some of the ways we were using the earth were harmful to human beings. It's only more recently still that we started talking about the sinfulness of using the earth in ways that are harmful to the earth. We started very human-centric, still growing out of that sense that we were intended, we had a special place in creation to be dominating. But that's a misreading of the biblical tradition. That's very much a colonial, imperial reading of the tradition of dominion, but it's not really what the biblical writers intended. When the biblical writers talked about human beings having dominion over the earth, they didn't mean that we could use it however we wanted. They meant that we were the gardeners, not the landowners. That we were to be the stewards, not the ones who just exploited it for our own ends. The notion of dominion in the Bible really is about taking care of the garden that we're in. It's not about getting rich quick by exploiting it and extracting what we can. We have misunderstood the whole notion of dominion. And we have put not only ourselves but all of creation at risk by doing that. And yet think about what it means to be a gardener. Look around the grounds. There were 20 people here yesterday gardening, and we did a remarkable amount of work in a few hours. All of those flower beds were weeded, and all of the dead ivy that had stopped growing on the side here has been taken down. And somebody repaired the eaves trough over there. Christopher Ono was up on the ladder several different places. I couldn't do it. People were here to beautify. People were here to bring order out of the chaos. People weren't here to dominate the landscape, but to make it even more beautifully itself. When dominion works properly, that's what it's about. It's about being a gardener, not being domineering. It's about caretaking, not about exploiting. And so as we think of the wonder that grabs us, as we think of the joy that connects us when we look at the awesomeness of creation, we need to repent of the ways that we have been domineering. We need to recover that sense from the Bible, what it means to actually have dominion. That grows out of wonder. When we can wonder, when we can celebrate, when we can understand that everything we see around us is a gift that we neither created nor set going, but we inherited. And that it's come into our sphere to care for a while, until we pass it on to the next generation. When we see dominion that way, we will live differently with creation. And we will be caught up with wonder, like a 6-year-old staring at the Milky Way for the first time. That's the foundation of religion. That's why we were here. That's what connects us to God and to everything God has made. Amen. And so let's sing together. Joyful, joyful, we adore you.
Thank you.
glad you're here, and welcome to our outdoor service. This is kind of our last hurrah before summer, and it's so much fun to see so many of you here. I was watching others of you came as the service began, and that's just great. We're glad you're with us. If you didn't realize it was the outdoor service and you didn't bring any food to contribute, not to worry, there's lots. Stay, enjoy the party, come and be a part of that. If you did bring food and you put it in the kitchen to keep it cold or something, when we're done, please go and get it and take it down to the table so that we don't have a whole lot of volunteers lined up to serve and look after the food today. We're kind of hoping everyone will look after their own contribution. So please take care of that, put it down on the table so that people can help themselves, and then take it home and wash your own dishes when you're done. And that means we can all have a good party and nobody's stuck in the kitchen or the dishwasher. We have chairs, we have the canopies, we can take the canopies down into the parking lot. So make yourselves comfortable. Before you go, if you have a strong enough back and can carry a chair or two back downstairs to help put them away, we'd sure be grateful for your help for that too. We'll tidy up and make the place look nice, but let's have a party and let's enjoy the season. Our summer services will begin 2 weeks hence. That's the 30th of June. So on the 30th of June, we're going to move our worship time up half an hour. This is our answer to daylight saving time, right? So we move to 10:30. And we'll move into the parlors, which are air-conditioned. I'm looking for still a few volunteers who might like to lead a summer service. So I need to put that schedule together. If you'd like to lead one of the services in August, let me know, and we'll put you on the roster. I'm expecting to be away for the Sundays in August, but we don't usually have any trouble filling up that schedule. It's just a question of slotting people in. Let me know if you'd like to be a part of it. We'd really like to include you. Other than that, I don't think I have any other announcements. Am I missing anything, those of you who are organizing the picnic?
Do you have a second propane tank?
I was told we had propane that was working, so no. Somebody checked this out a couple of days ago.
Okay,
that's lovely. Thank you. I thought somebody had checked both propane tanks about 2 weeks ago, so only one is working. Is that right? How about that? So we have hamburgers, we have hot dogs, we have Polish sausages. We have no veggie burgers this year because somebody forgot to buy them. Sorry about that, my fault. So if you wanted a veggie burger, have extra salad. But everybody else, there's all for all the carnivores, we at least have hot food for you to enjoy, and let's have a party. Let's continue in worship then as we bring ourselves and our offerings before God.
Okay.
Does it work? Paul's turning it on. I'll have to speak to them.
I do. Hi. That piece was called Douglas Firs, which I thought would be very fitting for today.
Absolutely. Thank you. It was remarkable.
Wonders of creation, and for all that you have put into our care, use these gifts and use us to bring and to share your wonder with the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And let us pray together. Great and wondrous God, what an awesome place you have given into our care. You have surrounded us with the green and the birds and the trees and the flowers. You have surrounded us with the teeming energy of life that invigorates us and connects us to all that is and all that ever was and all that always shall be. When we look at the work of your hands, not only the stars, but the tiniest of leaves and the strongest of trees, we can't help but wonder. And we get a sense of our own fragileness in the midst of that. All that you have made and all that you connect us to is beautiful and awesome, and sometimes dangerous, and sometimes in danger. And think of the ways in which our misunderstandings of dominion have led us to dominate and exploit and damage the things you have made. Think of the images we've seen on the televisions of plastic in the ocean. We've seen, think of the climate change and the evidence of that that we have noticed even in our lifetimes. Think of the ways in which we have failed to notice and stopped wondering and stopped caring. And therefore stopped being good stewards of all that you have gifted to us. Give us wisdom. Give wisdom to our leaders. Give us strength to challenge our leaders, that we might encourage them to make wise decisions even when the short-term costs are higher than we'd rather pay. We might encourage them to make long-sighted decisions, even when they might win votes by going for a quick benefit. Help us to be the stewards that will pass on to the next generation the glory and the awe and the wonder that draws us to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And our final hymn, "For the Fruit of All Creation." Let's sing together.
Thank you.
too small to see, the smiles of children, the eyes of lovers, melody filling the soul, a flood of joy surprising the heart, mystery at the core of the plainest things. All these tell us that we are not alone. They open our eyes to the vision that steadies and sustains us. Go and be steadied. Go and be sustained. Go and celebrate that love has found us and that we are indeed not alone. And the blessing of God, Creator, Word, and Spirit be with us all this day and forevermore. Amen.